the following episode contains spoilers. Welcome once again to another episode of Scare Traducing, a horror movie podcast, which was previously for horror movie virgins and is now whatever we want it to be. I'm Callum McNabb.
My name is Gisela Martinez.
And we are back doing what we used to do, which is when we started the podcast, we were all about franchises and horror franchises, and then we changed and we switched and we constantly whatever. This is Franchise Week.
Yay!
It's Halloween 2023. We're talking about three franchises which we have covered in the podcast before. They've all got new releases this week. And they are The Nun 2, the new Conjuring movie, Saw X, the new Saw movie, and The Exorcist Believer, which is obviously the Exorcist movie, the new Exorcist movie. So, I don't know where to begin. Like, obviously over the last few years we've seen like all the major horror players come back. Michael Myers has been back, Chucky's been back, Ghostface is back, Leatherface has come back, Candyman's come back. We have yet to see the return of Jason, although a TV series, I believe a TV prequel is in the works for Friday the 13th, Old Crystal Lake or something like that. And we've yet to see the return of Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yes.
Which we've never seen any of those films.
And it's on my list.
It's on my list as well. Like, part of me is like, do we go back to just doing franchises? Because it's just easier to just be like, this week is this and next week is that.
Well, it doesn't matter. We're going to talk about how, about things, about horror things. And if something who are in the mood for that, well, maybe we do that.
So anyway, we are talking, as I say, Halloween 2023, three big franchises are continuing. And so we're going to go over those three movies, which we have now seen all three of them in the cinema. And we're going to give you our thoughts, feelings, and opinions and all that nonsense that we like to do. So first up, it's the new Conjuring movie. It's The Nun 2.
The Nun 2.
Something wrong with the school. Something doesn't feel right.
Sophie, what happened?
I think there's something here that's not meant to be.
What did you see?
I saw a nun.
Oh God, okay.
Okay, so it's officially the eighth movie in the Conjuring universe.
Okay, eighth movie.
Can you name them?
I'll try.
Okay.
With eight.
So you gotta get eight, including the nun too.
Okay.
So you need seven more.
Conjuring.
Yeah.
Conjuring 2.
Yes, well done.
Conjuring 3.
Okay, so we're not doing them in order, but okay, yes. Do you know the subtitle of the Conjuring 3?
Is that the devil... devil something.
The devil made me do it.
Okay, the devil made me... Okay,
yeah.
3.
Yeah.
Annabelle, yeah. Annabelle 2.
Okay, right. It's not called Annabelle 2, though.
Well, it's the Annabelle.
Okay. I swear to God, you're going to say Annabelle. I know what you're going to say. Right, yes. So that's... Conjuring, Conjuring 2, Conjuring 3, Annabelle 2, which is Annabelle Creation.
Oh, Annabelle Creation.
Yeah.
And then we got The Curse of La Llorona.
Okay.
Oh my God, hold on. We got The Nun. It is The Nun 2.
Right, so...
I'm missing one.
You're missing one because you've put in an incorrect one.
Oh, which one?
Okay.
So yes! The Curse of La Llorona is no part of the universe.
That's what I was trying to get.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So what one are you missing?
I'm missing another Annabelle.
Correct. Yes. Annabelle Comes Home.
It Comes Home. Yes, I'm missing Annabelle.
So, yes. Just wanted to say that it is now official. The Curse of La Llorona is not part of the Conjuring universe. And Scare Traducing can see that we called it.
Yeah.
We said it at the time.
They were just taking advantage
of
something.
We said
they're
taking
advantage
of the Conjuring franchise.
We said that.
So, essentially what's happened is Michael Chavez, who's the director of The Curse of La Llorona, then becomes the director of The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, and is now the director of The Nun 2. He said in an interview that there were, quote, there's so much debate about it, meaning whether or not The Curse of La Llorona is part of the franchise. There's so much debate about it, and I think I've played coy in the past. The idea was that the Annabelle cameo was going to be this little hidden thing that you were going to discover as you watch the movie. One of the reasons that it couldn't formally be part of the Conjuring universe is that it didn't include one of the key producers, Peter Safran. The Conjuring is his baby, him and James. That's James Wan. And they are still the two core producers on it. End quote. So, if you remember The Curse of La Llorona, there's like one scene with Father...
whatever.
Perez or something. And he's holding the Annabelle doll. Mm-hmm. And then they like kind of tie it. It's like a little flashback. And that's how they get Father Perez in. And it's like, oh, so if Father Perez exists and the Annabelle doll exists, then this is in the Conjuring universe. Mm-hmm. And both of us at the time said, this film seems like such a pile of shit that they have
added something
just to say, and get look, people in. Because the Conjuring universe is hot stuff. It's hot property. And now they've said, look, it's not part of the franchise, guys. And good, I'm glad, because it's rubbish. However, what that makes me think is, what on earth did James Wan and Peter Safran, the producers on the franchise, what do they see in The Curse of La Llorona then, if it's not part of the franchise, what do they see in that movie that make them think, we want Michael Chavez to be the guy to take this forward? Because he's then went on to direct the next two movies in the franchise. And it seems like he's now got quite a big say in how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't understand, because The Curse of
La Llorona
is so
friends
bad.
Or something. I know.
And I did not like The Conjuring 3.
Oh my god, that's the worst.
Then like, oh, no, I'd say The Curse of La Llorona is worse.
No,
but
I
it's
mean...
it's not part of the franchise anymore.
Worse
yes,
of
so.
The Conjuring?
Yes, now, officially. I'd say
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is. The Nun... I mean... oh, wow. Well, we'll talk about that.
So, yeah, I don't know what they saw, but anyway, they gave him the reins. He made one film. We both thought it stunk. And now he's made a second film.
Mm-hmm.
So, previously we had him as three in the franchise. Now he's actually officially two. This is a sequel to The Nun, which I have revealed to you twice now.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't think you believe me. And so maybe people listening won't believe me, but it is true. The Nun is the highest grossing movie in the Conjuring universe.
I can't believe you that. Like,
The Nun 1.
Like,
that is the biggest earner.
Wow. Like, you have the first Conjuring, you have Annabelle, and like, oh my god. Like, I don't believe that.
So The Nun 1.
What's wrong with people?
Made about $360 million worldwide. The Conjuring 1, which is number 2 in the list, is at $317 million. So it's about 45 million behind it. Something like that. 40 million behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is baffling to me. Because, I mean, the Nun's quite boring, in my opinion. It's not a bad film. It's not badly made. It's just quite boring.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I don't understand why it, or how it managed to
it
get
takes,
that.
It takes time to get to the scary part or blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like, The Nun is scary when it's in the Conjuring or the Annabelle movies, no, when it's by its own.
You mean like Balak?
Yeah, like Balak, the character, yeah.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Balak is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, but anyway, people turned up, people went to see it, and so obviously a sequel was bound to happen, and here it is. It's written by Akela Cooper, whose previous screenwriting credits are for Hellfest, which neither of us have seen, Malignant, which I adore.
I know you loved it.
And Megan, which came out this year.
Love Megan. Megan's great. Love Megan.
So, I was aware of this before going to see The Nun 2, and that's what kind of made me, like, I knew Michael Chavez was directing it, and I didn't like his previous two movies, but Akela Cooper, I was like, hey, I love Malignant, I love Megan, maybe they're going to be doing something fun with the Nun, and having now seen it, I'm not sure it's the right fit. This movie is, in my opinion, the same as The Nun. It's quite boring, it's quite dull.
Yeah, I think I agree. Again, I don't remember that much of the first one. But because I don't remember something like traumatized me or like, oh my God, this...
You're saying it traumatized you, the first one?
No, that doesn't. Oh, okay. Like, it doesn't have something that I can... Like, for example, I can tell you the scenes from other Conjuring movie, Annabelle, like, oh my God, when this happened... I can't remember anything on The Nun that freaked me out or like, probably there's jump scares and stuff like that, but nothing that I was like, oh my God, like creepy, you know? Yeah. Is it worse than the first one? I don't know. I can't tell you.
It's, yeah, I don't know. I would say that it is my favorite Michael Chavez film.
So he's made three films. Oh, definitely.
Curse La Llorona, Conjuring, Devil Made Me Do It, and this. I'd say this is the best of those three, regardless of whether in the franchise or not. Like, of those three films, this is the best.
This is the best, yeah.
But that's not high praise for me, anyway. That's like, it's a low bar to clear. Anyway, The Nun 2, it's out, and it's doing quite well, actually. If Wikipedia is to be believed, 258 million worldwide so far. So that's not bad. So we'll see if the Conjuring universe will continue. I believe it is scheduled to. So let's, I guess, get into a little bit about The Nun 2. First and foremost is, do you think... I guess, what's the first way to think about this? I mean, do you think The Nun herself is scary as a villain?
Again, I think as itself, it is scary. It's been scary when we see her in the other movies.
Like She's in the Conjuring 2.
And I think I'm believing in Annabelle.
Is she in Annabelle?
I'm pretty sure it's in Annabelle.
I don't remember that, but okay.
But yeah, it is in Annabelle. Yes, I'm sure about that. Anyway. I just feel like in this one, because it's the main character.
Yeah, the main villain.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's your movie.
Mm-hmm.
We see things happening, but we don't see her. And when we see her, it's too much that I'm like, this is not that scary.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you have a lot of elements to play with when you're talking about nuns, religion... Catholic Church and all that stuff, they can go crazy with it.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Okay.
I think it's quite tame, like...
Yes.
How they use these tools that are for you to use, and you don't use them. And I think that's a waste of money.
So I would say as a whole, good villain, Balak, I should say.
I love Balak, yes.
Really well designed... played by Bonnie Ahrens.
I know, I've seen the picture of the woman.
You know who it is.
Yeah. Like, I've seen her in, like, red carpets and stuff, and I'm like...
But you've seen her in other movies.
What?
She's in The Princess Diaries.
I don't remember.
She plays Baroness Joy von Trocken.
I have no idea who's that.
Yeah, hold on.
What else, Gavin?
Let me get you a photo. You will know this person.
I mean, I've seen her in red carpet, and I don't recognize her.
But
so.
You've seen The Princess Diaries.
Yeah, long time ago.
Oh, okay. Anyway, right. So, she's not the problem with The Nun. I think this just has the same problem as The Nun 1, which is just, it's really boring. Like, it's just quite dull. I don't care about... Because this all happens prior to The Conjuring. And the thing that I don't get about this movie is that it has, what do we call him? Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the man who's possessed by Balak at the end of The Nun 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the school, I guess. this time,
mm-hmm.
where creepy things start happening. And we know that he must end possessed because mm-hmm. of the beginning of The Conjuring 1,
yeah.
where they reveal, oh, we exorcised
him. We did an exorcism, yeah.
So if he's possessed at the start, I know he's going to be possessed at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he's not possessed at the end, are we retconning, are we changing? What's, like, I, like, either we stay in the same place, or we're going to get super wild and weird with it, and the movie doesn't do that. It yeah. just, it stays in the same place that we know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I just don't find any interest in it at all. It's not a terrible movie, but it's my problem with the Conjuring universe, which is, I think the bar is so high for these movies. When they're good, they're really good.
Yeah.
When they're bad, they're either really bad or just boring plain. And plain.
Yeah.
And it really kind of bugs me, personally, I guess.
But that's the thing.
Like, I don't remember much about this movie. I swear to God, I don't remember much about it. And how long ago did we see it? A couple of weeks?
It's yeah, just I think evaporated it was a couple of weeks.
From my mind.
Well, things I liked about the movie, I like the characters, I think. I like the characters. I like them. It's set in a school. The nun, well, the what's the name of the girl?
Which girl?
That is a nun.
Thaisa Farmiga.
Yeah.
Sister Irene.
Yeah, Sister Irene is there. I love her.
She's excellent. She's the best thing in both these movies,
she
I think.
Is so good. The acting, the scary parts when she is, like, I do believe her. She's mm-hmm. so good on this. Maurice is so handsome. So
Maurice is very handsome. So, yes. That's undeniable.
And then there's a woman in this movie that Maurice kind of like. She's so good. She's from... And I told you, oh my God, she's from the...
Anna Popplewell is her name. Yes, I know who you mean.
Yes, she's from the Narnia movies. And you're like, what? I'm like,
Susan
yes.
Susan.
Yes, Susan. Love her.
I think you're the only person in the world that saw all those films.
I love think
everybody
them.
Saw the Chronicles of Narnia. I saw the Chronicles of Narnia. My I've dad even saw the Chronicles all. Of Narnia. And then I never heard anything about them ever again until I met Gisela and she started talking about Prince Caspian and the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And I was like, what on earth is this?
I love
and
that.
And you were like, oh, I went to see them all at the cinema.
I know. But yeah, so she's on that in the movie. I do like when it's in... Well, I was about to say medieval times, but it's not medieval times. It's like...
18,
it's 1956.
It's 19.
No, it's not 18. Something. No, it's 1956. That looks way older.
Because Maurice is going to survive long enough to be exercised by the Warrens in the 70s.
Oh, that's true.
And he's not like 100 in that video.
True, that's true. Well, I just like that it's like in Europe where a lot of history happens.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh, I know that symbol. I know that thing. Oh, the monks used to do this. The nuns used to do this in that monastery. I love that kind of stuff. So, personally, I do like this where it's set
mm-hmm.
and the times and everything. I think it's. I mean, I like history, so.
Yeah. But do you think it does enough with it? Is my point.
No, but it doesn't bother me that much. It's
it
okay.
It really bothers me. Like it just feels like so wasted. It's out of school. And it's just a repeat of the nun. The one thing it doesn't have over the nun one, I actually think I prefer the nun one to this. The nun one at least feels gothic-y in a way that this doesn't. And I don't know if that's just down to Michael Chavez. Like, I don't know if I'm just shitting on him constantly. Like, there's something about the way he constructs scares that never scares me or even gets me invested emotionally. Like, I always feel distant from his films.
I do remember in The Nun. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was The Nun that we went to see, and there was, like, this group of kids behind us, and you were so mad because they would keep talking and saying something. You were like, can you be quiet, please? And we were like...
The Nun?
Yeah, I think it was The Nun that we went also. I think you were bothered about that too. That there were like a group of kids.
No. You're talking about The Nun too that we saw that
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
No, that was Talk to Me.
Oh, it was Talk to Me. Okay. Yeah. Well,
we moved seats.
Well, yeah. I don't know why you are to bother about it. It's okay. It's plain.
It's all
I have to say about this movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's still in the cinemas. Go and see it. If not, trust me, it's going to be in one of the streaming platforms soon. And it's just weird to me that these movies are making so much money.
Why?
when it's not, they're not that good. And then we have movies like Cobweb that is just amazing. And come on.
It's something to do with the fact that people kind of know what they're going to get with a Nun movie.
True.
And
it's a safe place.
It's kind of a safe horror. Not really a massive fan of it.
That it's not bad. It's not a bad thing because, as I say, there's a formula that sometimes you follow and you're like, I know what I'm getting. I'm happy with that. I know how I'm going to spend my Saturday night, which people I'm going to invite. Because I'm not going to invite friends. Just like, oh, let's go and see a scary movie. And then ended up watching Saw with a lot of blood. And they're going to end up vomiting. You know, like, that's not what I'm going for. I know what I'm getting with this kind of movies. Yeah. But they are not going further like The Conjuring. Like, the first Conjuring is amazing.
The first Conjuring is excellent.
It's just it's so perfect.
Good. Yeah.
And okay, fine. You made a lot of money without you. Okay, you did it great. But this is not the same. Why you guys are
going into that? It's long-running franchise problems, which is each, you know, the longer a franchise goes on, the more duds you're going to get. But, like, I don't think I will ever watch this movie ever again, except
if the third one comes.
Yeah, if I'm doing, like, a re-watch of the franchise.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm never going to sit down and put on The Nun 2. That's just not going to happen.
Well, so it's clear that The Nun 2, not a good thing for us.
Strike it from the list.
So what's the next movie we have?
The next movie that we can talk about is, well, the next one we saw, which is Saw X.
Oh, God.
The cancer is still spreading. I'm afraid there's nothing else we can do. There is one person who might be able to help.
Our program is a two-pronged treatment outside Mexico City. The results have been stunning.
She saved my life.
You're in very good hands with us.
After that, what happens then?
Your whole life happens then, John Kramer.
According to these scans, the tumor was never removed.
How much time do I have?
Months, at best.
I still have a lot of work that needs to be done.
Oh, God.
So a little bit of notes on this one. It's the 10th film in the Saw franchise, following 2021's Spiral from the Book of Saw, which is a spin-off film, which we were both quite positive on at the time, relatively speaking, for the Saw franchise.
Again, now, it was during COVID.
Because Saw fans hate Spiral, like really hate it.
Uh-huh.
And we were both kind of like, it's decent. And I am wondering, I haven't seen it since. Is it because it was during lockdown? The cinemas opened up briefly.
And we were so excited. We were so excited. I still remember when we went to Edinburgh.
We did go and see it.
Because,
Edinburgh, yeah.
Again, like the movies were so limited in that time, mm-hmm. the times. And then we were in Edinburgh and I was like, let's go. It's perfect time. Let's do cinema. Yay. It's a nighttime. It was winter time. Or autumn, whatever.
Yeah.
We were so excited. I was so excited to sit there, enjoy a movie. I mean, it's brutal, but I think it's the whole experience of being back in a screen, like a sitting there and with people around. Maybe.
I'll need to revisit Spiral and see what my thoughts are. So if you go and listen to our episodes of Spiral, then you might think, they're a bit high and mighty on this film when it's not that good. I don't know. I haven't seen it again, but part of it might be down to the COVID lockdown nature of it all. Anyway, this is the 10th film. This is the follow-up to that, or the follow-up entry in the franchise. It's directed by Kevin Grootert. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct. He directed Saw 6 and Saw 7, which is also known as Saw 3D, or Saw The Final Chapter, because obviously the franchise has a movie called The Final Chapter. Every fucking horror franchise does, and then it turns out to not be The Final Chapter. But anyway, he directed 6 and 7, and it's written by Peter Goldfinger and Josh Stolberg. They wrote Jigsaw and Spiral, which is basically 8 and 9. So it's the team of 6, 7, 8 and 9 coming together to make 10. What I love about Saw is it's one of the only long-running horror franchises that hasn't retconned its timeline or rebooted itself. So if you think Halloween, that's changed its mind countless times as to which timeline is the correct one and which one you should follow.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th has had a remake and it's had a crossover with Nightmare on Elm Street, like the Freddy vs. Jason movies. I don't know if they're canon. I have no idea. The Exorcist, which we're going to speak about later in this episode, it literally has two prequels, which is the same film, but like made by different people and re-edited because Paul Schrader was making Dominion. The studio saw it. They went, that's a shit fest. We're not releasing that. They got someone else in to come and re-edit it. They released it as Exorcist the Beginning. It bombed. So then Schrader was like, can we release my version? They released his version and it kind of bombed as well. But I like his version better, Dominion. But it's like horror franchises just have this weird, like, which is the correct timeline we should follow? Which is the correct film? Saw, that doesn't exist. Every movie is part of the franchise and none of them have been cancelled. None of them have been stripped out. You don't ignore any of them. The only thing they do is that they revisit scenes and then go, and that person was there in the background. And they just show you someone that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
They do that all the time, which is really fucking silly, but I kind of love it. Just because it's 10 movies in and Jigsaw, John Kramer, dies in Saw 3.
And, so it's like, how many movies can you pick before enough, you know? Like,
and Amanda, who's set up initially as his, like his protege, sidekick, and she's going to continue on after she dies in Saw 3 as well. So they have to come up with a new sidekick, which is Hoffman, and he's in 5, 6, is he in 7? I don't even remember.
Spoilers!
I think he's in 7. These movies have been out for years. But, don't try and pick plot holes in Saw is what I'm trying to get at, because it's very easy to pick plot holes in, because you'd be like, wait, the times don't match. For example, this is Saw 10. It's set between Saw 1 and Saw 2. So it's Saw 1.5, this movie here that we're talking about now. Does that really make sense? Not entirely sure. They don't even try and de-age John Kramer. I can't remember the name of the actor, but they don't try and de-age him at all.
It's like, just take you're getting.
Just pretend it's Saw 1.5. And you're like, okay, but he's like 10 years older, but it doesn't matter. They don't de-age Amanda. None of that. Doesn't matter. So anyway, what should I say? Oh, well, we should also mention somebody we think vomited at our cinema, which is exactly what you want for these kind of films.
It was mental, because I saw the girl.
So tell them what happened.
So, we were in the cinema, and, I mean, you know, again, you know what you're getting with this kind of films.
It's the 10th one.
Exactly! It's not like, oh, I wonder what it is. If you know you can't handle this kind of stuff, that I probably...
You struggle with it.
I struggle. Yeah. But I cover my eyes a lot.
Yes, you do.
Oh my God, I just saw the girl running. And then she never came back, and I saw the boyfriend leaving,
or someone,
the guy that was with the girl.
Yeah.
And then when the movie finished, we saw a lot of white stuff in the floor, in the carpet, and I was like, "What's that?"
Sawdust.
And yeah, so it was basically
a trail of
vomit until the bathroom, through the girl's bathroom.
Now. I also had a bit of wondering as to whether or not it was a bit of the cinema. Like, I don't know if it was a market. Like, if I'm the producer of Saw, I am doing that at every screening I can get my hands on.
Was that the opening weekend when we went and see it? No. Ooh, that's the thing. That's what I think it was real.
No, but I just mean like...
Oh, that there will be a good strategy. Yeah, like, oh my God. And it was so funny. You took a picture. You posted it on Skirt Reducing Instagram. We can put it back again so you can see it. But, I mean, just that... I was like, okay, this is a whole experience of going to see one of these movies. You know, when you hear when people faint in movies or like someone like just which couldn't handle it.
Do you remember which film that was at?
No.
Somebody fainted.
I know I remember, but I can't remember which film.
Titan. Was it Titan in the GFT?
That's true. But
I said I loved that. I mean, I feel sorry for the person who painted, but I loved being at a film. Like, you hear these stories of people, and then I just loved being at a cinema where you're like, holy shit, this person couldn't handle this.
And
I loved that. Yeah, and clearly, like, this, in this one, this, as much as I think it can be some silly at times and people can look down on it, it still works for some people. It still has an effect.
So, by telling you that, you can assume that obviously the... I mean, you know that it's a movie about being tortured or being like, you are going to learn, you have a choice, you're going to learn about this, but they're brutal. Again, I can't tell you a lot about the traps.
Yeah.
Because I cover my face almost in all of them, but I don't know if I can handle more. Like... So I need to stop because I ask me, I can't go to the cinema and see more of this film. The older I get, the less I can, like,
handle these.
Yes.
Same with you in roller coasters.
Oh my God.
You used to be fine.
I used to be fine. Now I'm like dying, but I'm getting older, but so.
So anyway, let's get into it. So this movie is, and by the way, I just remembered his name. Well, I didn't. I Googled it. It's Tobin Bell, who plays John Kramer, and he's back. Because he's not in Spiral. Spoilers for Spiral. It's a spin-off. Different killer. And I'm kind of interested as to what... Like, I think one of the things I liked about Spiral is, like, it's someone who's a proper copycat of John Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking his methods into style, but it's a different puppet. It's a different person. They're not connected in any way. And then the movie, I guess, didn't do that well or didn't do what they were hoping it does.
Which I mean, is why it was in COVID again.
But they've gone back to Saw 10 and then they've brought John Kramer back. They've brought Amanda back. Like, it's this definitely feels like, okay, this is more of a Saw movie.
Like, we know this
people, these characters and stuff. So what happens with Spiral? Because Spiral ends on, like, a cliffhanger the way these movies all sort of do. So who knows what the future holds? I don't know if they're ever going to continue Spiral on, but... I believe this movie's done well enough that they are doing a Saw 11.
Oh my God.
I believe. I could be wrong on that, but I'm sure I read that somewhere. Anyway, so this one is set between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And it is dealing with John Kramer and his cancer diagnosis. He goes to Mexico to get a special treatment. But like an experimental treatment or whatever on his brain tumor. And he finds out that he's been conned. Now, this is all revealed in the trailer, and he's getting revenge on the people that conned him. What I was concerned about... No, what were you going
to say? No, it's just like, and that's it. Like, I think that's the whole movie. And
that is the movie.
Yeah, and then revenge of each people different traps, and then, we expect all this twist, or like, and then the music plays, you know, like, din, 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 din. And boom, the movie finishes. Again, formula. It's so specific for this movie. I like it. But I like
not
that.
Not every Saw movie is good, though. I would say this is one of the better ones.
This was good. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, except for the part that I cover my eyes. And I felt that it was really... I don't know. Like, I felt like... And I explained to you when we came out from the cinema, I felt like, oh, yes, do it. Do this. This, like, I was in his side. Normally, I'm like, come on, you're playing God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like,
so I guess we should talk about that briefly then, because this is between 1 and 2. And if you go back and watch Saw 1, Saw 1 is essentially John Kramer's, methodology is that he's dying of cancer, and so he's finding people... who are maybe
taking
advantage of life or making bad decisions, and he's giving them a new lease on life.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate life. And then as the franchise moves forward, it becomes much more of a, he's morally superior, or thinks he is.
Yeah.
And it becomes much more about morals than it does an appreciation of life. It's about completely changing who you are, mm-hmm. rather than just you'll wake up tomorrow and it'll be the best day you've ever had in your life. And so the movies can get quite messy with the methodology, especially when the timeline jumps back and forth and you're like, hold on, he didn't believe that then, but now he believes it now. It doesn't make any sense. As I say, don't try and poke holes in it because you will sink the ship, essentially.
Yeah.
But what I was scared about is Saw 6, one of the more popular sequels, Because as I say, some of the sequels are really bad, but fans pretty much agree. Saw VI, one of the good sequels, is already about the medical industry in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance and how people are used as, I don't know, commodities rather than like, oh my god, healthcare. Like,
yeah.
They have to pay and people go bankrupt and all that stuff. And so I was watching the trailer for this one and I was like, I feel like they've already done that in Saw VI.
Yeah, with what medical.
What is the gamble this time? What is the point? What are we talking about? And I came out and I was like, I think this is a reaction to COVID. That's entirely my take. Which is, he is putting his hopes and dreams on these people who are offering him, don't listen to the doctors, don't listen to the scientists, don't listen to these people. Our treatment works. This is what you need to do. And it's kind of, I was reading it, I was like, oh, it's like an anti-vaxxer thing. Like, don't listen to them. Don't wear your mask. Here's what you need to do. If you just drink this every day, or if you just do this, this sort of wellness trend that's born online and on TikTok and stuff. And they're selling you nothing, essentially. They are con men. They are selling you hopes and dreams, but all they're doing is profiting themselves.
Yeah.
That was my take on it, is it's not about the medical industry. It's about people who are abusing vulnerable people without any degrees or any medicine at all and saying, we can offer you the world.
Well, I came out from that movie saying, kill them all. Kill them all. They deserve to die. They deserve to die. You take your money. They told you you will get like cured. No, kill them all.
Right,
now.
Okay. Even the drug-addicted girl, Cecilia?
I mean, that was unfair because she did pass her test.
Hey, sorry, Gabriella. Cecilia.
She did pass. Well, we're not talking too much about it, If you do, you follow the rules, and he's quite fair about that. If you follow your rules and you're kind, and this one.
Do you think so? Because the people have already argued this online.
Oh.
Two people kind of passed their tests.
But the machines didn't get it that fast, that's what you mean.
Yeah, there's a delay in what
they
did.
Well, they took too much time to do it.
But does he give them enough time? This is a sequel problem. If you go back to the first Saw movie, people have, you know, there's long running games, and now it's you have 3 minutes. It's like a speed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, is that just a sequel problem? Things need to be faster, quicker, bolder, bloodier. I don't know. But
anyway, now that you're pointed that out, I don't
so
know.
So, does the fairness of John Kramer track? I've never thought so. Like, I've never thought one Saw is on his side.
Okay, yeah.
The movies. He's maybe the main character, and certainly he influences other characters, obviously. But I don't think the movies ever say the people he's... They might be shit people, but I don't think the movies ever tip far enough to say they deserve...
Oh, and this one, I think so.
Oh, no, I disagree with
that. Not with all of them, but with a few of them, yes.
But they deserve to die.
Yes!
Okay.
So mean, but no, well...
So fraud, you would punish fraud by death, essentially, is what you're
saying. Yes, in Casella Land. Fraud is death.
Anyway, so the movie, like...
I liked it.
I actually liked it. It does what it needs to do, but also it does it in a way that isn't quite as grotesque as some of them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel needlessly grotesque.
Oh, well, for me, you know, I can't give you
like,
my opinion.
Like, for example,
here.
The last trap you were gargling at, the blood boarding.
Yeah.
I didn't find that bad.
Oh, I was.
No, if I was in the trap, yeah, of course, horrific. But watching it,
oh, I was. I was like, so.
Like, Saw's done worse than that, in my opinion. I think this is...
I don't know, I suffer. But it's weird because I suffer watching the movie, but at the same time I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know how I feel. But I think I enjoy it. I think I liked it.
I believe this is also one of the, if not the best reviewed in the franchise.
Oh. But
there you go.
Would I watch it again? No.
You wouldn't watch it again?
Oh, no. I will never watch all of this Saw movies again.
You wouldn't watch the first one again?
No. Oh, I don't think so. I'm too old for this, Cal.
But the first one's much more of just like a really contained thriller. Like, it's James Wan. It's like...
Well...
I don't know. I would definitely watch 1, 2, 3, 6, this, and Spiral just because I want to see Spiral again. I would definitely watch them again out of enjoyment. Like, actual enjoyment.
Oh my god.
Not into it. I've argued this before. This is less gross to me than the true crime boom of podcasts where people are like, and then, you know, he tied the woman up and you're like, this actually happened. And everyone's like making jokes about it. And it's like, number one podcast in the world. That's way grosser to me than someone cutting out their tongue and it's all fake.
Mr. Kramer here talking about moralities now.
It's not about morality. It's just what I consider put over the line. I think the Saw movies are difficult to watch.
They are!
But I don't think they're morally reprehensible because it's all fiction. The point of the movie doesn't exist. It's not real. The victims, they don't exist. They're not real.
I don't count. The only thing I'm saying is, like, I wouldn't watch it again because I do suffer at what I'm watching. I don't enjoy it.
Okay. Well, that is Saw 10, I guess.
And again, I did like this movie.
But yeah, it's good.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
Okay, without, I mean, I'm going to spoil my thoughts on The Exorcist Believer right now.
Oh,
but
God.
With, like, for all the legacy big horror franchises that have been this year, there's Scream 6, there's The Nun 2, there's Saw X, there's The Exorcist Believer, which we're about to talk about, and Pearl's not a big franchise, but it is a franchise. Saw 10 is my favourite of the franchise films this year that I've seen.
I like Pearl.
I didn't really like Pearl.
I actually would like to watch it again.
So would I, but that's just because I was so baffled by it the first time. From first watch, I was like, oh shit, I didn't expect to come out and go, wait, has Saw got the best franchise movie this year?
That's interesting, I never thought about that.
I think it does. So we're going to be talking next.
Exorcist.
Believer.
Believer.
Good day. Hey, be home by dinner.
I love you. Good morning, Mr. Fielding.
Morning, Catherine.
And here are your daughters, Angela and Catherine. It's about 7 hours ago, and that's the last information we have.
Catherine!
Angela!
If you can hear this, we love you. Please come home.
Hey. Hey, you found her?
What are you and Catherine doing out there in those woods?
We were just walking and walking. That's all I remember.
Angela, can you tell your dad how long you were gone?
A few hours.
Baby, you've been gone 3 days.
So The Exorcist Believer is the most recently released, I believe, of the three films we're talking about. It's the sixth film in the Exorcist franchise, plus a few seasons on TV, which neither of us have seen, but I hear are good. It's the first since the death of director William Friedkin earlier this year, director of the original Exorcist, I should say. This one is made by David Gordon Green, who directed the most recent Halloween trilogy, Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. It's produced by Blumhouse, they produced the Halloween trilogy as well, and it's distributed by Universal, who paid $400 million for the distribution rights of the franchise.
That's a lot.
With their intent to launch a new trilogy. I agree with Izella. I think they overpaid, because I'm not sure how much franchise potential The Exorcist ever really had. As we say, this is the sixth film.
Yeah.
So you got The Exorcist 2 Heretic, Exorcist 3, sometimes known as Exorcist 3 Legion, The Exorcist The Beginning, and Dominion prequel to The Exorcist. Those are the five films, and as I say, those last two, the prequels, they are the same film, re-edited and remade by different directors, essentially.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, if you hire the guy that directed all those Halloween movies, and they were, like, quite good, really strong trilogy from all the Halloween classic whatever movies, I think they just wanted to do the same and thought we are going to get the same result, if not better.
Right.
Because he already has experience of this and he's going to improve and do something amazing here. We need their rights. It doesn't matter the money. I feel like that was his blank check.
Yeah, that's probably what they're thinking. But I don't think The Exorcist has... I know it's got sequels. I know it's got a franchise. I know that. But I don't think too many general audiences know that. I think a lot of general audiences just will not have seen The Exorcist.
And that's it, yeah.
And then you say, what do you think of The Exorcist 2? And people are like, I didn't even know there was one. And you go, uh-huh. Oh, there's five, mate.
No, the Exorcist 2. Oh, the one that's in cinema, I haven't seen it. No, it really exists.
The Exorcist 2.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I tried to Google this online earlier. Google it online? Of course it was online. Where else did you Google it? The box office numbers seem to be a bit sketchy, a bit limited as to, you know, domestic box office, foreign box office, and for which films or whatever. So I couldn't find exact figures, but if we go with what I found, and there's just take them as a legend, then the franchise before this film, The Exorcist Believer, has made $600 million worldwide across five films. And over $400 million of that is the first film alone.
Oh, wow.
So then you've got around about $200 million between four films.
Oof.
When the first one's made double that on its own. That's exactly... Like, I don't see why The Exorcist needs... I mean, okay, maybe a new film like this one, fine. But a new trilogy, I'm just, like, baffled by the idea of an Exorcist franchise, I guess. And especially because the sequels are so up in the air. The Exorcist 2 is horrific. I know some people have started to reclaim it online, and it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting film because it's not like, oh, it's just The Exorcist again. It's definitely trying something different, but it is so bad, in my opinion. I have to agree with William Friedkin on this one, who called it, I don't know the exact quote, but basically the biggest pile of shit he ever sat through, and he only sat through 40 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. He hated it, and I think William Friedkin would hate this film as well, which is like the worst criticism I think you could give it. For example, when Wes Craven died, and then they remade, or not remade Scream, they carried Scream on with Scream 2022, my first thought coming out was, I think Wes Craven would be fine with them carrying, like, I think he'd like that film.
Uh-huh.
I do not think William Friedkin would like this film at all. I think he'd hate it. He never even saw The Exorcist 3, which was directed by one of his friends. He was just like,
"Oh, you told me
The Exorcist doesn't need a sequel." And I agree with him, it doesn't. But here we are, it's got loads. So, what else do we have on my notes? This is supposed to be the beginning of a new trilogy, as I said. The Exorcist Deceiver is supposed to follow in 2025.
Okay, wasn't...
However, given the critical reception that this film, The Exorcist Believer, has received so far, there are reports that the future plans are going to undergo a creative rethink.
Oh.
And there's even some doubt as to whether or not David Gordon Green will return to direct as initially planned.
So as a general, even they know this didn't work.
Right, but this is the thing. But the movie has performed well at the box office.
But they know it's not good.
This is the thing. I think they've realised we've used up all our goodwill.
Yeah.
Like, if we just make the next film, people aren't going to come and see it.
Yeah.
We need to change track quickly.
Yeah, because you had your shot, it didn't happen as people you wanted.
People paid their money on opening weekend, and then everybody came out and went, that was a big pile of shit.
Yeah.
Don't ever go and see the next one. And I think it's one of the cases where a movie's made money, and the studio's going, we can't just follow this up again, because it will not work a second time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, the studio's not sure.
They're right definitely now. Not sure.
Okay, not sure numbers or trends are not working in their favour. Okay.
So we have to go through the film briefly and try and establish what do they think hasn't worked. Because, I mean, what do you think of this film?
I mean, I kind of liked the idea of two girls and the families and the whole... I think I told you, they, in this movie, they take different religions, or they mention that, okay, we've been studying religions, so that they all are the same. It's people that keep them together. The faith. It's all this Catholic, Jewish people, that everybody does the same, and blah, blah, blah. And whatever positive energy comes when people come together, that's what, like, call it bad karma, call it evil, bad vibes, whatever. We can overcome whatever if we're together, if we believe as a group of people. I think they had a good idea and didn't use that. And I said to you, like, what a waste of money and time to no use and to explain this to us. That I'm like, okay, great. We're going to see an exorcism where maybe we're going to see another method of getting... the demons out, or whatever is out, the bad thing out. And no, we just see the same, but boring.
Okay, but the priest does turn, spoilers, the priest does turn the exorcist down, exorcism down, I should say. So, but yes, most of the exorcism seems to be following a very Catholic or at least Christian dogma.
Yeah.
So, there is
so I was quite disappointed.
Which sort of have more, what's the word I'm looking for? Pagan.
Mm-hmm.
But not much.
No much. And that's the thing. Like, they do mention, they mention it more than once.
Yeah.
About different, yeah. And I was like, okay, we are going to get this fucking all religion together and they're going to save the girls and it's going to happen and it's going to be a massive thing, like mental. They're going to go all over it. Like, nothing happened. Like, it was boring. It's like, me, Gisela, the professional of an exorcism, I see so many, and this is one of the, like, seriously, like...
One of the what?
Ones. Like, this is really bad. I think, like, Emily Rose exorcism, that's so good. Like, the whole exorcism there, obviously the first one, The Exorcist, the movie, that's so good. The Conjuring, they have kind of like an exorcism, and it's amazing. This one is so boring. It's boring. So that's
the
last half
of the movie. It is boring. So, this movie is essentially a single father who lost his wife in an earthquake in Haiti. She's pregnant at the time. And he is given the choice to whether or not he'll save his wife or his unborn child. And then we cut to 13 years later and it turns out the daughter has survived, the mum has not. And he's kind of lost faith in God or religion or whatever. He's played by Leslie Odom Jr., who Zella apparently did not recognize.
Didn't recognize?
Even though he looks exactly the same.
No. I know who he was. Like, I know, but I didn't know his name.
All right, okay.
But I was like, yes, the dad.
Yeah, he's a handsome man, yeah. anyway, she is, the girl is really, Angela, she's really kind of interested in trying to communicate with her mum.
Mm-hmm.
And, her and her friend Catherine venture off into the woods one day after school to perform a seance to try and contact the mother, and they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the beginning, that's the setup. They are gone for 3 days as the parents look for them. They come back, and then when they come back, something's not quite right, and things start to go wrong, and whatever, and are they possessed, blah, blah, blah. I think the first hour or so of this movie, the first half, I remember watching it in the cinema thinking, this doesn't, because I was aware of the hatred it was getting online.
Yeah.
I was aware of the reviews. I was thinking, this doesn't deserve.
It's not that bad,
This is a good setup. I'm into it. And then, as we approach the second half, when the horror begins, the exorcism begins, the demon stuff begins, and critically, the reintroduction of Chris McNeil, played by Ellen Burstyn, when that all happens, I check out almost immediately. I do not believe a single moment of it. So Ellen Burstyn comes back because she wrote a book about the experience in the first movie.
Of and course she did, because that was the only way that you can bring back a character like that.
Agreed, but I don't believe it. Because at the end of The Exorcist, she's like, I'm not going to reveal this stuff to my daughter. We lived through all this. This was the most traumatic thing ever. No.
I'm going to protect her.
She's going to forget it ever happened. She doesn't remember these events. A couple of... how many men died? Two priests died in the first Exorcist. Like, no more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on with our lives. And then this movie asks me to believe that she went also going to write a book about it. And then she's like, oh, and Reagan was really unhappy. And you're like, yes, of course. You've just sold out the most traumatic thing that happened in her life. And I get that they say, oh, but it was, I thought if I could help one person. But I just don't buy it enough. Because I'm like, you must know that Reagan's gonna, like, your whole reason for not telling her is you don't want her to relive this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make her relive it because you want to help someone else. Like, I don't buy that you would not want to protect your family over everyone else, especially after what happens in The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy the reintroduction of Chris McNeil, Ellen Burstyn. I also think Ellen Burstyn is quite bad in this movie.
What do you mean?
I think she's just there for a paycheck. She's not there's no emotion keeping anything. In any of the scenes she's in. She's barely in any scenes.
Well,
as
to
well.
Be fair, I like,
it's just them trying to recapture Halloween when we got Jamie Lee back.
No, like my thing That's was, all it is. She didn't like this character coming back doesn't add anything to anything. Yeah to the story. Nothing like.
I agree.
Anyway,
so from then on in, if you've seen the movie, that's the point that Callum McNabb checks out. And from then on in, I do not buy any of it. And the final sequence, the exorcism, which all these movies, you know, they've got a big third act set piece. It's not scary. It's not gross. It's not offensive. That's the other thing we should say. Think of The Exorcist 1. Just go back, 1973, picture it in your head. And then you remember, oh, wait. Doesn't Reagan, who's a 13-year-old girl in that movie, doesn't she masturbate with a crucifix and say things like, your mother sucks cock in hell? Yes, she does. That movie is fucking out there. This movie is so safe. It is every exorcism sequence you've ever seen in your life, but tamed down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know, is the demon even Pazuzu in this one?
No, I don't think so. I feel like there's a lot of demons.
But I recognize you. It makes it feel so small.
Yeah.
It's, as I said, it's the Star Wars problem. Where I know people hate The Last Jedi, I love The Last Jedi, but people hate it. But the movie ends with anyone can be a Jedi. And then Star Wars Episode 9 opens with, oh, by the way, your grandfather was the Emperor. And I'm watching it going, okay, so not everyone can be a Jedi. Because it's all connected. So it's one family. Where it's back to the family mm-hmm. story. This is the same, which is, this is the ultimate evil that pervades our whole world. It exists everywhere, and you know, blah, blah. And then they go, oh, and by the way, it's happening to the same person, and I'm like, or it's happening close enough that she's going to get involved.
Yeah,
I just, it feels so small, it feels so safe, so reduced, and it feels like they are completely scared to try and do anything that The Exorcist did, except for let's just mirror it on screen, like oh, the dogs fighting at the beginning of Exorcist 1? There's dogs kind of fighting or kind of playing at the start of this one. Mm-hmm. The priest's a boxer. This one, the dad's a boxer. Or he's boxing at a gym. Like it's like, okay.
Little things here, little things there. You're mirroring things.
But it doesn't upset me the way that The Exorcist 1 does. Or it doesn't offend. Like, I don't see anyone coming at this movie going, fucking, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
What did they do? They did nothing. It's so dull.
It's dull. If you check out when you saw the woman, the
when Ellen Burstyn came back in, Chris McNeil, that's the point. I don't buy it.
I still gave it more of a chance that, okay, let's keep watching. But my moment was when the exorcism, at the end.
That's the end, though.
Yes, but
so you're right in it.
No,
until the end.
No, not right in it, but I was like still trying to give it a chance.
Okay.
Because I was like, okay, I want to see more of them being possessed and doing things and saying things. But that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, okay, show me the exorcism. Mm-hmm. The movie's called The Exorcist and
Believer. Yeah.
And I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything from The Exorcism.
You do get an exorcism sequence.
But it's I didn't get the excitement. I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared at any point of this movie.
Scary. No, there is scary. One jump scare with a snake quite early.
It's
on.
Yeah, it's one it's or two. Jump. Apart from that, it's not scary.
No, but I think the setup is good.
Yeah. Oh, the setup's amazing. I loved it. Girls like last scene, and then you see the videos like the getting into the forest, and then they disappear. Oh, you've been like gone for 3 days. No, it was only a couple mm-hmm. of hours. Like, that's creepy. That's like Blair Witch Project. Like, what happened in the woods? What did you experience? Why do you have your feet like they are? Mm-hmm. Like, what happened?
Like, for example, one point in the movie, we're just spoiling it now, but it's boring. One mum says to someone else that she thinks her kid actually went to hell. Like, physically went to hell. And I'm like, that's fucking wild. And then the end of the movie kind of looks like she does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I feel like that could have been more interesting than what we got. We just got, there's interesting stuff, as Izella said, there's the opening out of the religions,
mm-hmm.
which they never really follow through in. There's the loss of faith from the father, which again, that's kind of like Father Merrin in the first one, but still, I get why he would lose his faith. And I like that the demon even calls it out during the exorcism sequence, which is like, you got to believe, you got to believe it. And the demon even says to him, you don't, you still, part of you doesn't quite believe this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as if, like, this isn't real. Maybe we should go to see a doctor. And I'm like, excellent. Like, go with that. Play with that. And they don't. They, like, he kind of believes basically immediately after that. And I just, I don't know. I really don't know what to think. All I can think is, it's boring. Is it the worst exorcism film? Or sorry, the worst exorcist film in the franchise? Probably not. Like, it's well acted and well made enough.
But it's not good for being the first one of this trilogy that they want to bring back. No.
I don't see why anyone would watch. I hate The Exorcist too, but I see why people would watch it. Because it's not The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's all about minds, connecting your minds and psychic powers. And fucking, then it's, you know, there's like locusts invasions and stuff like that. It's just weird.
Yeah.
This one is like, and then Exorcist 3 is like a murder mystery and there's a police detective and then some of the murders are demon related. And what's going on? This one is just, you remember The Exorcist? What if it happened to two girls? And you're like, sorry? And they're like, you remember how it happened to one girl? Yes. What about two? And you're like, and what else? And you're like, nothing else. That's it. That's the whole idea. It's so dull. It's,
yeah.
If we go back to how we've scheduled this episode with The Nun 2, Saw X, and now The Exorcist Believer, we've bookended it with two films that have the same problem.
Yeah.
They're boring. Saw X is at least exciting and entertaining. These two on either end, they're just dull.
I agree. I wanted more exorcism. I wanted like big. I wanted all religions. Show me pagan. Show me African roots. Show me Mayan stuff. Show me, I don't know, Jewish things or Sikh. Or show me all the religions. Show me what they do in these cases. Because it's not only one religion like does exorcism. What they do. Show me shaman. Show me like... everything.
You know I wanted, and I said it on our episode
Black
last
magic
year,
or whatever.
When we did our Halloween Ends episode last year, and we were both talking about Halloween Ends and how that's not a traditional end to the Halloween franchise. Everyone was expecting it's Michael versus Laurie, and then it turns out that it's mainly about this kid who's kind of becoming possessed by Michael Myers, but is Michael Myers spiritual? What the fuck's going on? And people were really mad about Halloween Ends. And I said, I think it's quite good. It's not the best in the franchise, but I think it's interesting enough. And I was like, I think I even said in the episode, I need to go back and revisit, but I'm like, do that with your Exorcist movie, because everyone knew David Gordon Green's going to make The Exorcist next year. Do that. Do something weird, because this is all about gods and religion, but we've seen an Exorcist movie. We've seen exorcism movies.
Different.
We've got thousands of them. If you're going to make a new entry into the Exorcist franchise, do your Halloween Ends, but don't leave it till the third movie. Do that first. Go big, go weird, go wild. This is religion and evil we're playing with. And their entire pitch is two girls, not one. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm hot in here. Well, it's still in cinemas.
It is still in cinemas. So where can, let me just quickly go over it. You can see The Nun on, I believe that's on Video On Demand. The Nun 2. So you can watch that in cinema somewheres and Video On Demand in other places.
And although we're in Halloween time, so probably they're keeping this movie there, or maybe.
Saw X, you can see in cinemas. And The Exorcist Believer, you can see in cinemas.
Yeah.
So go to the cinema.
Yeah, like...
I mean, our recommendations might not have tempted you, but there is stuff out there for people. But, for example, if we go back to the episode we did last week,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it probably wouldn't. But if Cobweb had come out around the same time as these three films,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I think it would have done well, but I don't think it would have actually. The franchises...
Because no, it's a franchise that back up. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Than at least, I think it's better than all three of these movies, but at least two.
Yeah.
And it's sad to me to know that that completely flopped, whereas these other movies are being propped up. But the one good thing for The Exorcist Believer is that Universal knows... Okay, we've got lucky.
Yeah.
But this isn't going to happen again.
We need to rethink.
We'll see what
The
Exorcist Deceiver is. Who knows? But I'm excited now that they've realised oh, fans are kind of down on this. And so let's find out.
Yeah.
In 2025. Until then, gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.